Dwight and I both have been a little forgetful today for some reason or another. And so anyway, I'm going to get him to do me a favor here as we proceed. Do you get it? There it is. How many of y'all remember Fred Mertz? Anybody in here remember Fred Mertz from I Love Lucy? You know, his byword was this, good grief. You know, and you hear people say that today. But is it really possible to have good grief? I think there is. But there is actually a common problem with grief in our world today. Because sometimes we find ourselves grieving over the wrong things instead of the right things. I think there is a time and place for us to grieve, and as I mentioned last Lord's Day, as we started this series on grief, that God grieves. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 2 that it grieved God, or chapter 5 rather, it grieved God in his heart that he had made man because man had turned against him. And man had rejected and became so sinful and ungodly, and that's when God called upon Noah, a preacher of righteousness, to build the ark to the saving of his own house. But we know that Jesus was grieved also. There were times when Christ went and looked over the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible says that Jesus wept. He wept also at the tomb of Lazarus, you remember, when he came there to that little town of Bethany, and Lazarus had already died. But his weeping was not really for Lazarus. He knew he was going to bring him back to life. But he knew also that he was the resurrection and the life, and because Jesus was, then he could restore life even to a corpse that had been dead for 4 days. Well, we know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. But I want us to go back just a little bit here on each slide and kind of go over what we did last week, and then we'll get right into our lesson, okay? Grief, I was telling you, was normal. It is something that God says that people are going to experience in life. It could be the death of a loved one. I mean, it could be the loss of a job. It could be any number of things over which we grieve. Sometimes the way out of grief is through it. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that is so true, that the way out of our grief, or the grieving that we often find in our life, is to walk through it. But number three, grief is hard work. We all need God. It's not an easy thing to deal with grief, isn't it? You know, there were times, as I said, when people were really grieved at their heart. And number four, your grief will take longer than most people think. That's a new one. And it will. Sometimes people think that grief is something that should be short-lived. We know in some cases maybe that could be true. Because when we read from the prophecy, actually, of King David in the Psalms, he said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. But sometimes it doesn't come every night. Sometimes we grieve for weeks and months. And when the morning comes up, there's a brightness and an aura about a new day. But we often find ourselves grieving at night, generally when it gets dark, I'm told, in most cases. And that's where we have to trust in God. God is close to the brokenhearted, the Bible says in Psalms 34 and verse 18. And that's one thing we have to remember, that God is there with us. Sometimes we grieve after the death of a loved one for the first few months. And sometimes it can be really, really intense. You know what I'm talking about, those of you that have gone through grief. It could be that first year after having lost a loved one is extremely difficult. Your first Christmas without him, without him or without her. Or perhaps the first birthday. Sometimes you see on the internet somewhere someone on Facebook has put, happy birthday, daddy, up in heaven. or maybe a happy birthday to their mom, or perhaps maybe to their parents. Sometimes when people experience anniversaries for the first time after one has died, it's a very traumatic time. Because you remember when you stood before the preacher and you actually acknowledged your vows one to another, and you heard the preacher say, "Till death do us part." Well, death came and prevailed. And it is a very sad time. Maybe on Mother's Day, or maybe Valentine's Day, or maybe a year ago this day, maybe this day is special to you in some way or another. But how do you cope with grief? That's the real issue at hand, isn't it? Many other times, we are reminded of our loved ones, not just on special days. All are difficult days, and we need to anticipate them. They are going to come. And we just have to be compassionate with ourselves. And you know, it's not wrong to cry, and it's not wrong to grieve. As I said, if we're grieving over the right things, Jesus would grieve over the city of Jerusalem, because the Bible says he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And he who has no time to mourn has no time to mend. You know, God gave us all emotions. We all have them. I did a series of lessons one time on emotions, because they are important to us, aren't they? Sometimes we cry, that's an emotion. Sometimes we're happy, that's an emotion. Sometimes we may just be sad, that's an emotion. Sometimes people get mad, that's an emotion. And a lot of times we don't know how to handle our emotions. Grief is one thing, fifthly here, that is unpredictable. You don't know when it's going to come. You don't know, it may be a sermon, it may be a song that we sing, for a long, long time. I could remember the songs that they sang at my mother's funeral. And every time they would sing that song, it would touch me in ways that maybe other people would not understand. And maybe that happens. Maybe one of the songs that we have sung tonight has touched your heart in some way or another. But grief really is unpredictable. You don't know when you're going to grieve. You have an array of emotions. And those emotions, all of them, are unpredictable. You don't know what's going to bring you joy today. Maybe you've been joyful today and something happened that brought that joy into your life. And that's a wonderful thing. But maybe it brought sadness into your heart as well. I don't know. But I know one thing. Someone has appropriately said, and I like that quote, and I just had to put it in our lesson tonight, that grief is just love with no place to go. You know, especially if you're by yourself and your grieving is intense and you don't know exactly how to handle it, remember, it is love with no place to go. You may experience a wide variety of feelings or perhaps reactions. Most of our actions, by the way, are reactions. We react in a lot of ways. We react to sadness, crying, depression. Sometimes people get so depressed in life. And we don't know how to handle depression. You go to the doctor and he treats it with medication, and the medication wears off over a period of time, or it may not work at all. And so you're wrestling with these feelings of depression that you don't know how to conquer and to get beyond. And some of your responses may seem quite uncharacteristic of you. You know, we have a number of people in our congregation that are on depression medicine. And, you know, I'm not going to name names here tonight, but I can tell you that a lot of people are on depression medicine. And sometimes that medicine will bring them relief. Sometimes it does not. And sometimes it will make you act in ways that are counter to what that medicine is designed to do. Dwight, actually, and Gary Todd and I were talking a moment ago about medicine to help you sleep. And I've had doctors tell me, well, you just need to take a Benadryl. And I do occasionally take a Benadryl at night. It's the same medication that you will find in sleep medication that is designed for that. And doctors will tell you that. But sometimes that Benadryl doesn't make you sleepy. It makes you wide awake. Have you ever experienced that before? And you thought, boy, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the night. And it happens that way. We have to turn to God and find the greatest strength to do whatever we have to do. Sometimes when you're going through trauma and you're grieving, you're saying, this is just not like me. I've actually had people that would tell me that I grieve, but I don't shed tears. Don Bell used to tell me that. He wouldn't mind me saying that. And he would tell me, he said, Dan, I wish I could cry. There are things that I wish I could bring to tears, and I just can't do it. I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried. But that doesn't mean that I don't grieve within. And Don was one of our elders at one time. But Don could grieve. You know, sometimes we all grieve in different ways. Sometimes we may not think that some people are grieving or going through grief, when in reality they may very well be going through grief. You just haven't honed in on it. But grief is unpredictable. We cannot present it in a neat, predictable passage. It's just not going to happen. And nor does the Bible really address it in that way. Each one has its own impact, and each loss needs to be mourned. One of our big problems is that we often hold our grief within, and we don't share it with other people, and we hold it to ourselves. And sometimes we're fearful because we're afraid of what other people might think of us as being weak, or maybe not being able to control your emotions. I know the older I get, the more emotional I become. By the way, Marshall's has opened up. Did you know that? And the reason I said that is sometimes people cry over the opening of a new store. Maybe you cried after you left out. I don't know. But our losses need to be mourned. We need to deal with it. It is an emotion that God has given us. And here's another thing, number six. Grief comes and grief goes. I told you it's unpredictable. But one morning you may wake up and you are joyful and you're feeling great and you feel like you could go bear hunting with a switch. I mean, you're ready to take the world on, and all of a sudden it might be the scent of cologne or the scent of perfume that your loved one used to wear, and it just does something to you. And then you start experiencing that emotion or that trauma that we call grief. And maybe it stays with you all day, but it will eventually leave. But it will come again. And David said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning, and it will. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, do not grieve as those who have no hope. You grieve over, it's not wrong to grieve, and as I mentioned what Paul said here, he didn't say it was wrong to grieve, he just said, don't grieve like others who have no hope. In other words, those people that have not become children of God and they die out of Christ, that brings about great remorse and great grief. But it's not wrong to grieve over a loved one who has been taken from us. I would rather think probably it would be inappropriate not to grieve. If you have a sore throat, it is painful for a few days, and then the pain eases away, and grief is not that way. It just comes and it goes, and it troubles us, and we don't know how to handle it. And I wish tonight I could tell you how to handle it all, because I can't do that. I can only tell you what the Word of God says. And sometimes we find ourselves in the depths of despair just when we think we're getting over it. And before you know it, there is a devastating setback. that occurs in our life. Maybe someone says something about, you know, I still remember your husband, what a great guy he was. Or I still remember your wife, what a wonderful lady she was. And it causes us grief. But here's a wonderful lesson through all of this, is that we don't have to grieve alone. You see, society has an unrealistic expectation about mourning, and they often respond inappropriately. Let me give you a way that sometimes we do that, and we use those little cliches. It's easy for us to do it. We'll say, oh, everything's going to be all right. Well, everything may not be all right. Or we say, everything's okay, it's all right, but it may not be all right. It may not be okay. Or you'll eventually get over it. Inappropriate response to someone who's grieving. Inappropriate response would be this. You know, it took me a long time, but I got over it. You know, people say things sometimes trying to help when you're having an emotional moment. And sometimes they don't know what to say. Sometimes it's just best not to say anything. People mistakenly believe that grief is so personal that we want to keep it to ourselves. And isn't that true? A lot of times people internalize their grief, when in reality, we need to grieve. It's God's way of bathing our emotions. Sometimes seems to be a conspiracy of silence. Sometimes people are just silent without trying to offer encouraging words, and that's bad too. People are afraid sometimes to say or do something for fear that they might say the wrong thing and even make it worse, and that is so true. And I told you about Job's three friends. And when Job, you remember, was going through all the trauma that he was going through, there must have been tears that were shed. And his three friends came, and for about a week, they were pretty good friends. You know why? They didn't say anything. But then they began to say things, wrong things. Like, Job, you know, if you just confess up, God will take this away from you. God brought this on you deliberately. What have you done? When in actuality, you hadn't done anything. It just happened. What can we do to help get through the grieving process? Talk to God. Talk to our Lord. God's been through anything that you have ever been through in your life. God has been through it with other people who experience similar things. Has he ever been there when someone died? Yes, God worked in the hearts of other people. God works in mysterious ways. I don't know how many times that I have been called in the middle of the night, seriously, and awakened to the words that someone has died. Some that are young, and some that are in midlife, and some that live to be what we call a ripe old age. Kind of like Bob Steck. Bob's a great guy. But sometimes not knowing what to say is a tough call. But it is nonetheless important for us to talk to God and talk to one another. And maybe if you feel like you're not adequate to talk to someone about their grief, maybe that's an area where we ought to launch an inspection and start helping and do what we can to help people through their crises. I know one thing, that God is with us. And Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Matthew 28 and verse 20. He penned to the apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews that "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And sometimes when you feel like that God isn't there, just remember, He's here. He's here. And lean upon Him. That's what we ought to do in life. If Paul was right when he said, "Sorrow not as others which have no hope," then if you're not a Christian tonight, you have no hope. And it would cause and bring about immense grief over the loss of someone that is not a child of God and can be amenable to that. As I've told you many times, there are a lot of people, maybe, for some reason or another, that they are not mentally capable of digesting. And mental illness today is a big, big problem. But tonight, if you're of sound mind and you're not a Christian, you desire to become a child of God and not leave others to weep for you, over you immensely, then tonight would be a good time to make the good confession of faith and to be baptized or immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin. And if you're a Christian and you know that somewhere along the way you missed it, but you have a little bit better handle on it tonight, and you want us to pray for you, then why not let us do that? While we stand and while we sing.